This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov. Good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. I wanted to share some interesting little snippets with listeners this morning. First of all, great news from the world of sport, and in particular motorsport, which we don't necessarily associate with Israelis, and not only motorsport, but motorcycling. And in this, on this occasion, a female Israeli motorcyclist, Alona Ben-Natan, who has become the Bayas World Cup champion. Now, Bayas, Bajas, I don't know how it's pronounced exactly. This is a motorcycle sport involving off-road motorcycling. And the events, I understand, take place over 2 or 3 days, which are often held in desert conditions and quite extreme conditions. And Alona Ben-Natan recently came second in the Dubai event. And as a result of that second place, she's won the world championship. And this comes in spite of the fact that she was denied a visa to participate in Qatar. And as a result of that, she lost crucial world championship points. And yet she's become the very first Israeli to be the world champion in this motorcycling sport. And the organizers asked her not to have her flag out and not to advertise the fact that she was Israeli. And even though she was very disappointed because she's extremely proud to be an Israeli and certainly wanted to mount the podium with her flag, but she tried to respect the organizers by saying she understood that they were concerned about safety issues and she didn't really want to bring safety into the consideration. And so she kind of respected them. But of course, she is a very, very proud Israeli, and we are very proud that she has managed to really achieve an amazing achievement, something which is unusual. And then on a completely different note, I'm not sure how many listeners were following the story over the weekend when there was this report in the American newspaper publication called Jacobin that the prime minister jumped on with every possible finger that he could grab onto. This was a report that was covering the Jeffrey Epstein story in the US, and in particular referred to former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak, who is somewhat embroiled in the Epstein story. But it went even further, that Jacobin suggested that Ehud Barak may have tried to recruit Jeffrey Epstein to become some sort of a Mossad agent or to provide inside information to the Mossad. We now understand that Jeffrey Epstein had a lot of information about a lot of people and potentially could have been useful to the Mossad for that, according to Jacobin. And therefore, they were suggesting that Ehud Barak may have tried to recruit Epstein to provide information to the Mossad. And Prime Minister Netanyahu, late on Friday, decided to jump on this in an attempt to try to discredit former Prime Minister Barak in a big way. And I find this to be somewhat ironic for a few reasons. First of all, Jacobin has, over the last few years, been extremely, extremely anti-Israeli and anti-Semitic. They have published all kinds of accusations against Israel, including the accusation of genocide and various other things, which they've really taken an anti-Israeli stance in every possible respect. So in my view, they've lost their credibility somewhere along the way. And I'm guessing that Prime Minister Netanyahu might have felt the same thing. Had they not suddenly come up with a piece of information, a little snippet that could potentially help his political career rather than hinder it. So I find it ironic that Prime Minister Netanyahu decided late on Friday, just before everybody was going to Shabbat, that he would suddenly place all of this credibility on Jacobin when they've really not done themselves any favors over the years in presenting the credibility. But also to try to discredit former Prime Minister Ehud Barak. I mean, he hasn't been Prime Minister for so long, and he really doesn't have much influence in the political sphere in Israel at all. Granted, he does make statements from time to time, and he does try to dip into political issues, and he writes things, and he certainly has some sort of influence. He's become a businessman since he left the office of Prime Minister, and he's has some influence there. But I don't think he really plays much of a role on the political spectrum in Israel. So I found that to be a little ironic, I have to admit.
Oh, it's absolutely. I just wish that sometimes Israeli prime ministers and especially past prime ministers should actually just stop talking. I know it's ironic coming from a radio talk show host, but that's actually my job. They shouldn't be talking. I mean, Ehud Barak and just stop. Just stop. And the Prime Minister, the same thing. You don't have to always, you don't have to wade into everything. You know, it's sometimes it's just a swamp out there.
Someone smart once said to me, you don't necessarily have to fill a void with sound. 100%. And I think that that can be a piece of advice that many people can certainly adhere to.
For sure. Chief of General Staff Eyal Zamir has accused Defense Minister Yisrael Katz of acting in a way that harms the preparedness of the IDF. What's the background here?
Well, there is clearly tension between Defense Minister Yisrael Katz and Chief of General Staff Eyal Zamir. This tension has been felt already for some time. It's not a new tension that exists. And ironically, or somewhat interestingly, neither the Defense Minister Yisrael Katz nor the Chief of General Staff Eyal Zamir were in office on October the 7th. They have both been appointed to their roles since the war broke out, replacing those who were on duty during the time of the failure on October the 7th. And so they come to this with a slightly different approach, which means that they aren't really tainted with the failures of October the 7th. And yet, even though Eyal Zamir was actually appointed by Yisrael Katz to take over running the IDF, they somehow seem to have a very, very prickly relationship. And the latest spat, which really has come into the press and has forced the Prime Minister even to intervene, comes on the back of an attempt by Eyal Zamir to appoint new senior officers, generals, to positions, senior positions within the IDF. This comes as a result of quite a number of people leaving the IDF for various reasons, either because they had some sort of involvement in the failures of October the 7th, and many of those senior generals have left the IDF now in order somehow to try to avoid being held accountable, directly accountable, while in their office still. Others have become slightly war-weary. They've fought the war. They've been involved. They've done whatever they can. They've pulled back the situation. They've reclaimed the upper ground and they've moved on to retire. So a number of them have left. Some of them have even been relieved of their duties. But they've essentially left. And the Chief of General Staff has now the requirement to appoint a whole host of new senior generals in the IDF to various posts. And the Defense Minister Yisrael Katz has decided not to approve these appointments. And the reason for that is he felt that the IDF's internal review, the internal probe of the events of October the 7th, needs to be investigated a little further. He wanted there to be a reinvestigation of the military's review of what happened on October the 7th before he was willing to approve the appointment of these senior officers. Now, Eyal Zamir has come out in the press saying that this harms the preparedness of the IDF. And this is a very interesting timing that this has all come out in the press, because as I discussed yesterday, the Hezbollah number two man was killed in Beirut the day before yesterday, and this has created a certain tension on our northern border, with the IDF being unsure as to whether Hezbollah Secretary General Naim Qassem might decide to retaliate directly as a result of that very, very sensitive and very substantial hit that Hezbollah has taken. They might. We know that on our northern border, things are very, very tense, and the IDF is expecting any level of response coming from Lebanon as a result of that hit. So this is the timing that Eyal Zamir has used to come out saying that the defense minister is essentially harming the IDF preparedness by not allowing him to appoint these senior generals and to allow other people to move on. The prime minister has intervened, saying that he will need to get involved. But it's interesting that Yisrael Katz, even though he's been making things very, very difficult indeed, when Eyal Zamir came out and made the statement that he's harming the IDF preparedness, Yisrael Katz played a very, very straight bat in the press. And he just said that the Chief of General Staff needs to remember that he reports to the Prime Minister and to the Minister of Defense and to the Israeli government. And they are the ones who will ultimately make the decisions for the IDF and approve the decisions for the IDF, that the Chief of General Staff really is beholden to them, and that he doesn't want to discuss issues that are disagreements between the various echelons of power in the press. That's the statement that was made by Yisrael Katz, which I think is probably right. But at the same time, I think that the political echelon have the responsibility to give the IDF every support and assistance that they need in order to maintain the safety and the security of Israel. And if Eyal Zamir is right by saying that Yisrael Katz is preventing him from doing that, then I think that Yisrael Katz does certainly have something to answer to about why he feels it's appropriate to behave like this.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's just remarkable what goes on within. Again, it's all kind of, it all so often comes back to language and public perception. Palestinian Islamic Jihad has announced, I wanted to get to this story before we ran out of time, that the body of a hostage has been excavated in Gaza. Now, why hasn't it been returned then?
Well, I mean, I think that this is really just part of the psychological warfare that's being waged right now and continues to be waged, not right now, but continues to be waged and has been waged already for an extended period of time. It's not something that's necessarily new to us. It's all part of the forces in Gaza, whether it be Palestinian Islamic Jihad or whether it be Hamas or anybody else, just trying to do whatever they can, use every lever that they possibly can in order to exercise their power. Let's not forget that there are still three bodies that are being kept in Gaza as hostages: the body of Dror Or, the body of Ran Gvili, and the body of Suthisak Rintalak, who is actually a Thai national and was a foreign worker in Israel, and his body is still being held in Gaza. And that's the reason why we still see yellow ribbons and I still have my yellow bracelet on, because we can't allow ourselves to give up at all until all of our hostages are home, down to the very last body. It's not clear whose body was excavated, or indeed if it was any of those three at all. The reports that we received are all kind of coming from the Palestinian Islamic Jihad and being reported through Al Jazeera and through other sources that we know we can't necessarily rely upon. But as I say, we can't afford to allow ourselves to forget these three bodies. And until all of them come home, we will continue to campaign. And there was, again, a gathering at Hostage Square on Saturday evening, even though the Hostage Family Forum is now looking to wind itself up and transfer whatever funds they have available and resources they have available to the families of these three remaining hostages. But I think that as a nation, as a country, as a community, we can't allow ourselves to give up on the support for the family of the families of these three hostages. And I certainly hope that if that body indeed was excavated, that it will be coming home very, very soon.
That is where we leave it, Anthony Reich. Thank you as always. It is 8 o'clock. You can catch the Israel Report tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.